Firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, his faith for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said?
Hey. page 203.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Oh, Christ the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide its face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Oh, Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, His covenant of His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in Him be found. Rest in His righteousness alone. All lifted stand before the throne. Oh, Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Page 146.
Lo, in the grave He lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave He arose, with a mighty triumph o'er His foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and He lives forever with His saints to reign. He arose, He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. They watch His bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave He arose, with a mighty triumph o'er His foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and He lives forever with His saints.
to reign.
He arose,
he arose.
Hallelujah, Christ arose. Death cannot keep his prey. Jesus, my Savior, he tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord, up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foe. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose. Hallelujah, Christ
arose. Good to be with y'all again. Snuck in while we were singing. I didn't know there was that many people back here. Brother World asked me to fill in for him. I told the brother I couldn't replace him. I could just fill his spot. We're glad to be with you. And I hope the Lord will be with us. Bless us to worship in the Spirit. He said he'd search the Spirit and search those out that would worship him in spirit and in truth. And I don't believe we'd be meeting here unless it was in searching for some of that spiritual food, because if it did, we'd be in a bigger church somewhere, we'd be a bigger fellowship. He said he chose us because we're the few, not many. There's a lot of things in this book that other churches won't have. But if they don't preach the whole word, then to me, they've left it out. That's just like communion. If they don't do the whole thing, then some part of it's left out. He told Peter that if you don't let me wash your feet, you'll have no part with me. He didn't mean he wasn't going to heaven. He just wouldn't have that part with him. Brother, is there any announcements you want to give out? Anybody you want to pray for?
The only announcement that I have, Brother Brain, is next Sunday will be Communion Day at the Regional Church.
Yeah.
And we're expecting Brother World and also Brother Kent Walker to be with Brother Draper for that meeting. We invite anybody that has a mind to come and be with us.
You heard what the brother said. I'd love to, but the church at Oak Grove had the same communion day. I have left there and went to them after dinner. But sometime they last on into half the dinner hour. And I would like for you to pray for couple of friends of mine. One's family, some of the family belongs to Shiloh, is Carlos Woods. He just found out last week that he had cancer in about 7 places. And a couple of friends we went to visit last night at the Forsyth Hospital. Bill Cassidy lives up next to the racetrack on 311. And Elder William Dotson serves the church at Clear Springs and Cedar Fall and a couple of others. I don't know how many others. I'd like for you to remember in your prayers. And when you remember everybody else, remember me and mine. We stand in need of your prayers every day. Chose 110 as the opening hymn. So we keep the lead for us.
Brethren, we have met to worship.
God of all that's gathered wherever thy church may be and thy people may be gathered together. Not only in Remedy Baptist Church, dear Lord, but of wherever thy people are gathered together with you. Of being in the midst and that to bless that they might receive a few crumbs from the master's table. Now, dear Lord, bless this church for planting in your hand many years ago. I don't know how long, but we believe in one that knows all things and worketh all things to your pleasure. Now, dear Lord, you said all things work together for the good for them that love the Lord. Now, sometimes we get down in doubt, but not no more than the men of old also done the same. But you continue, dear Lord, to be around about them and having mercy upon them and compassion, dear Lord, with you. Be around about each one that's gathered here this morning. Would you bless them, dear Lord, and bless the homes that's represented here. Bless the churches that's represented here, dear Lord. Be around about them and touch them with your healing love and touch, dear Lord. And be around every church that's gathered together in your name. Dear Lord, would you bless the deacons of this church? Would you call them to go in and out, dear Lord, and to have a watchful eye that nothing would cause harm any more than thou would have, dear Lord, and bless them with heaven's blessing. And bless Brother World, dear Lord, the pastor of this church, wherever he may be. Dear Lord, would you be around about him and stand up in him wherever he goes and stand before your people? Would you bless him with a tender loving mercy and cause him to feed the little lambs and the sheep wherever he goes, dear Lord? No matter what church he's at, would you cause him to rightly divide the word of truth that we may feed from the word of God that you have pinned down in the times of old by the power of your spirit upon the men of old and cause them to pin it down? Would you give us enough education and understanding to receive a few crumbs as we travel along this life journey? Dear Lord, I know all these people, but I have learned to love them, dear Lord. I don't know all the people wherever I go, but I have a loving compassion one to another. How would you cause that to be continued? How would you call, dear Lord, someone to pray for this little unworthy worm of the dust, that he may receive a few crumbs from the table and rightly divide it, and divide it with the congregation wherever I go? Dear Lord, not wanting to hover up any, but you know who stands in need. Dear Lord, would you call someone to have a praying heart when I stand before your people? Dear Lord, and try to do, dear Lord, what you have laid on me, and make it feel in my heart that it was my duty to do. Dear Lord, we don't know anything as we should or not, but we travel by faith and by the grace of God that you have put upon us and laid it on our shoulders, dear Lord. Would it be approved by you, dear Lord, for this day to receive a few crumbs? And, dear Lord, if it's not asking too much, when we leave this place, would you take care of us and travel with us as you have in the past? Now, dear Lord, if I've left out anything, how would it please thee to make up and give them these blessings we ask in your name and for your sake? Amen.
I don't have anything made up. As I told them last Sunday, if I was to try to write something down, it would probably be something wrong with it, and it would end up making a mess because it would be of man. I told him yesterday, God's power is going to prevail, because this word said it. And if this word says it, I believe it. I don't understand all of it, but I believe everything that is pinned down. And I'm told that we don't need this Old Testament. We can just throw it away and just use the New Testament. But if we had just the New Testament, then the Old Testament would be done away with, and you wouldn't have no proof of it. He said it in his word that if it is pinned down in two or more places, then it's established. And I believe that you can take the new and back up and prove it by the old, or take the old and come forward and prove it by the new. In one place it said a Savior would be born, a Messiah would come. In the Old Testament, it prophesied it of his coming. If you didn't have the old, then you wouldn't know that he was a Savior. You wouldn't know when he got here who he was. They didn't believe in him back in that day, and they didn't believe it was him when he come. They was looking for some big, huge ruler, something like a president that we have today, to be Christ. They wasn't looking for a little baby to be born, to grow up to be your Lord and Master. They were looking like a prodigal son. He seen what his daddy had, and he knew that if according to our calculations today, half of that was his. And he couldn't wait. He wanted it now. And he told him to give thee to me my inheritance. And he went away and wasted it foolishly, and got down to the point that he would have eaten with the swine if somebody had fed him, the husk from him. I may not be able to quote this exactly as a lot of people can. Brother World's more educated than I am, and probably can do a lot better job than this. But if the Lord will bless me to feel and to remember some of the things that I've read about this prodigal son, he got down to the point that he would have eat the husk of the corn if somebody had fed him. I fully don't understand why he couldn't have just rested and got some with the swine, but you have to be fed by the Lord. You can't just consume any kind of food for this little spiritual man that's born again in you. It's got to come from above. And he said if somebody would have fed him, then he would have eaten with the swine. But he said, I would love to be back and just be a servant in my Father's kingdom, not to be a son, not to be counted worthy of even to be a servant. But the Father seen him coming afar off, and he done a lot of things for him. He said, prepare the fatted calf, make ready for a party. And he took a gold ring or necklace, I can't remember which, and put on him, and his best robe in the house and put on him. That's how I feel to be, is one that give me my part and let me go. But he didn't see fit to let me go. He seen fit to call me back in and to nudge me like a shepherd would with a sheep with a little staff with a crook on it and keep them going in the right place. He didn't see fit to just let me keep going on out in the world like I wanted. It was his providence. I believe that every one of you that has a mind to go out to church, as I said, it don't have to be a primitive Baptist church. It just has to come from the heart, and only God can put it in there. Only God could operate on that heart and put in a heart of flesh and take out that heart of stone and a sinful heart, and he cast it into the flesh. Don't tell me that he ain't got the power to do that. They told me just before I retired from work, a lot of religious so-called people were, I hate to throw stones, but they had with other denominations. I knew they was going to heaven, and they said it wasn't God's will that they joined the church or they got saved. I worked with this one boy in particular, said he decided one day himself that it was time for him to get saved. I said, well, you come down a different road than that little boy did. I said, I was going up that road and having a good time, and he caused me to realize that if I kept going, I was going to drop off. And I had to look to somebody and beg to him. He didn't beg to nobody. He just said one day it was time for him to get saved, and he got saved. I don't know how that works with you, but it didn't work that way with this little boy. He caused me to realize that I was going down the wrong road. He caused me to pull my car over, if you will. And I don't know what he said to me. I couldn't tell you right now if my life depended on it. But he left a hope in here that will never grow old. It'll never diminish. He was like that prodigal son. If I could just get back into the kingdom, get into the kingdom, not back in it, but get into it, that I could just be the doorman and get a few crumbs as it breezed by after the opening the door to let somebody in. Just a little bit was all I would want for. I couldn't deserve anything of this man. The prodigal son came back to the father and asked him, could he just be a servant? And he throwed a big party for him and welcomed him back in. But his brother got mad at him. That's the human nature part. The human man got mad at him because he come back and didn't stay out in the world so he could get everything. And he came back and got his inheritance just right on. If you will, I'd like to tell you of another man that the Lord dealt with. And the water. And it came to pass at that time of the offering of the evening sacrifice of that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. This man, Elijah, they had two gods they worshiped, even back then in the Old Testament. They had gods, and they had a true and a living God. This people that worshiped Baalah, they was bragging on, if I understood this right, in our language today, how good a God they had and what he would do for them. And Elijah told them to build them an altar and to take them a lamb, I believe, of the best, and the two of them, and cut one of them up and divide it for them, and one to go on the altar, and to pray to their God and see if he would hear them. He said, because he mocked them, said, he is a God. But this, these men took that a lamb and built him an altar and put it on it and prayed to their God, and he didn't answer them. Well, he said, Elijah was mocking him. He said, pray again. He said, maybe he's talking to somebody and didn't hear you. Or maybe he's gone on a trip. Or something, and they even said that maybe he's asleep. And they prayed again, even until noontime. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner, and with knives and lancets, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was passed, and they prophesied until the time of offering and the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near and unto me. And all the people came near unto him and repaired the altar, and the Lord was broken down. Even Elijah took 12 stones according to that and rebuilt the stone, and he told them that he would take a sacrifice and put on this altar, And he took his sacrifice and rebuilt the altar and told him to soak it in water and even a second or third time to soak it in water. And then he had him to dig trenches around it to prove to him that a true and a living God would answer their prayers if it was blessed to pray. That is the point I'm getting to. If you pray a prayer of just plain words, he'll probably fall at your feet. But if you're blessed from him to pray a prayer, then your prayers will be answered as he would have it to be. But anyway, he prayed to his God. He told him to fill the trenches for water and told him to soak it all down again. And he prayed to his God that he would send fire down from heaven. And the fire came down from heaven. They didn't have to pray a second time and consume everything it was, even lapped up the water was in the trenches around it. It took the altar and the sacrifice and everything. And it came to pass. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. And they said, "The Lord, he is the God." And the Lord, he is the God. Twice they said it. And Elijah said unto them, "Take the prophets of Baal, and let not one of them escape." And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, "Get thee up and eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundant rain." The Lord had told him if he gathered the people together that he would cause rain to come upon them because they had just going through a famine and they couldn't think that the Lord would ever bless them. But he said, "To gather the people together, and I'll cause it to rain, and I'll cause the grass to grow, that you won't lose all the animals." This is a gracious God, a wonderful God that we have, that would allow us to gather in places like you are this morning, a wonderful, blessed place to look heavenward and to receive crumbs from the master's table. We were considered as dogs at one time, and he looked down through the channels of time and saw us and caused them to write this and caused it to happen. And he said, "I am God, and change not in all my ways." If he hadn't have said what he did about having a people that wasn't a people, but I'll bless them to become a people, then we would have still been considered as dogs. We wouldn't have been considered as the children of Israel. We are a born-again child of God. We are what God called a backbiter, bad people. But he had compassion on us and changed us. That's why that new heart was put in. And if you ever thought about it, when you go to the doctor and he operates on you, you can see a scar where he operates at. But this operation was done without scar. It was done from within. It was no scar there. There was nothing bad place on the outside to look at. It was a good operation. And it was one that he will cause to stand in a holy place. He was one that he looked for and seen and caused it to happen. It's something that we couldn't do for ourselves. My mother and daddy would have done anything they could have for me when I was growing up, but they couldn't do anything for a sin-sick heart. But to get down on their knees and to pray that God would have mercy on their children. And I don't know why, out of five children, when one of them passed away, that only one of them that God caused, I believe within my heart, that he called me to come into the church. I don't believe that it was a work of myself. Did I could go back out and not attend church. I could go out and be playing golf or something today and not be in a church. I could go out the whole week and never come back into the church. But I can't do it. I tried my best. I said, "I can't do this thing. I'm not educated enough to stand before your people and to tell them." And he said to read in Isaiah, he said, I am God and change not in all my ways. And I have called my prophets from old. Even one he ordained from his mother's womb to become a prophet. And that man could not do anything about that. I don't believe that a man could change whatever God caused to happen. I don't believe that I could say that this building was going to be full when God said it would be empty. I don't believe I could change anything that he's been down here. I don't believe any minister could change what he's been down here, because he said, I'm God and change not in all my ways. And this would be performed in the day of his power, in the day that he said it would be. It don't fail anything. He caused the sun to stand still. Once I read where he caused the sun to stand still and to finish a battle, and then caused the sun to set at its right time, and nobody paid attention to it. I work with I don't know where you ever heard of Elder Pascal. I can't remember his first name, but I worked with his son, and he was real educated, and he studied the Bible, and he told me that he read where they had lost, seemed like 2 or 3, 10 seconds or something, and they couldn't figure out what it was. And they kept going back and back and back with this new computer life. And he said that it was when Lord caused the sun to stand still. They tell me that the earth goes around the sun, but whichever stood still. But the Bible said the sun stood still and set at its due time. And that throwed it off 2 seconds or whatever, just a few seconds. But nevertheless, that was the Lord's work. I don't argue with that. When it said at its due time, then that was its due time to set. If you ever notice it, from now on till the longest night, it'll keep getting shorter and shorter. And then I wouldn't mess with the time if it was left up to me. Of course, it ain't left up to man. The Lord's handling this. The Lord is in control. The Lord sees fit when to feed you. And I don't believe that anyone can receive anything of the Lord unless he asks it for it. I read where it says, knock and you shall be opened unto you. Ask and you shall receive. And I don't believe that you can receive a blessing unless you ask the Lord for it. I don't believe any minister can feed you unless you look heavenward and pray for that man and ask the Lord to bless him that you would receive a few crumbs from that table. I am a firm believer in prayer because it said to continue in prayer. Cease not to pray for your brethren. And if you don't pray for a blessing to be poured out upon you, then you're not going to receive anything from on high. You've got to ask to receive this blessing from on high. This God chose you from way on back. He looked down through the channels of time and chose a few people. He said it'd be a few of this humongous number of this, the stars of the heaven, of the sands of the sea, but a few, a remnant, shall be saved. I don't believe that was being saved for heaven and mortal glory. I believe that was being saved for this time world. The heaven and mortal glory was already fixed, and it was sealed with 7 seals. I read where they had 7 seals around this book, and no man could open it. No man was found worthy under heaven, in heaven, under the earth, excepting the Lamb that was found worthy to open the seals of this book. And no man can erase your name from this book, and no preacher can put that name on that book. You can join all the churches you want to, and it won't get you a seat in heaven. If you ain't already got that name in that book, it can't be put in there, or it can't be took out if it's already in there. I work with these people I tell you about that said you could be saved today and sin and go to hell tomorrow. I don't believe in a God that changes like that. I believe in a God that had looked down through the channels of time and set this thing in motion. He put this world out here and set it on nothing and caused it to have a sun to rotate, and it caused it to have a nighttime for your rest, in the daytime for you to work. He said to work during the day, for night cometh when no man works. That's the reason I say I don't believe that the Lord will deal with you always. He has a time for you to rest. You couldn't make a living. Afraid of you, but it's because I'm afraid of him, that I might say something to lead one of his little ones down the wrong path and cause them to sin, that they'd have to go to God to get forgiveness. Then that part of that is laid on me also. He said to rightly divide the word of truth, and I believe in a God that will take care of his own. Hey, if he's called me to preach wherever I am called to preach, I'll be there. I pastor, help pastor two churches, and I don't believe that God would send a man to two churches or allow a man to go to two churches and lead any of them astray. I'm not telling you that I am something big. I am what I am by the grace of God, as Paul said, and I feel to be the chiefest among sinners. But he allowed me to lay my head on my pillow at night. Not many nights that I lay down, I don't say, thank you, Lord, for taking care of me through another day. And in the morning time when I see the sun coming up through the windows, I thank him for keeping, taking care of me and keeping me through another night. Nighttime is a scary time. It's almost as scary as a stormy time. And I know that every one of you has been through, lately, especially, a stormy night, and this lightning and thundering and shaking the whole house. That is a scary time to me, because it can come in through the power lines and whatnot that we have in this day and time and take you out of this world. There's a God in heaven that will look after you. As I said, all you got to do is ask, and you shall receive. And knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And some people think that you can just knock, and it's going to be opened up to you. It's not done like that. He said he'd open it up unto you. He didn't say when. And that prodigal son thought, this is mine. I want it now. Well, when you knock, that don't mean you're going to get it now. You get it at God's time, when he sees fit for you to come into this kingdom. And I don't believe that he would lead somebody to this earthly kingdom and not bless them to receive from that kingdom food for that born-again spirit that's born within. As I said, I know I can't preach like Brother World can. I am what I am by the grace of God, and that only have I got to stand on is by the grace of God, just like all the other prophets of old. He leads some better, and I'm not jealous of the man that preaches better or longer or any such thing, but he calls some to feed and some to water, some to plant. But I just hope that I don't get out of my calling and pluck up that what God calls a man to plant and water. In other words, I hope I never say anything to lead anybody down the wrong path. I would love to die and leave this world thinking that I had done everything that the Lord had called me to do. And I hope that by the prayers of the saints, I read where the prayers of the saints availeth much. If just one little child of God prays in my behalf, then I believe it'll be took care of. The Lord said to cease not praying for the brethren and one another. To love one another as I have loved you. I know that's almost impossible for man, but he can bless you to do that. He can cause a man to love his brethren like Jesus loved you. I've done the best I can. I would have done better if I could have. May God richly bless you, take care of you, go with you, lead you and guide you in the right path. May God's love and mercy abide with you. Brother Keith, you got one?
193.
There's a fifth Sunday coming up. Well, first of all, I want to tell you about a third Sunday at Warner Cove following next Sunday. They purpose to hold communion and wash feet. And the fifth Sunday in October, I know only one close by is Clear Spring. If anybody don't know where it's at, see me and I'll tell you the way to go to it. That's a good place to go. I've been there.
I had one at Danville.
Danville Church. Mm-hmm. I've been going to Clear Spring since I've lived in Little Bit. And my children said, "You ain't never been in Little Bit." What number did you say?
193.
Church doors are open, the main is open. We can't open them or shut them, we can just announce them open. If anyone wants to relate their feelings to the church, I'll get it again. Yeah. Look to the Lord and be dismissed. Dear Lord, we want to thank you for this, another one of those days that you have given us to meet in a heavenly place. Thank you, dear Lord, for the spiritual food that you bestowed upon us. Thank you for the mercies and blessings that you bestowed upon us, each one, every one under the sound of my voice, until this present hour. And dear Lord, if it's not asking too much, would you continue your mercy upon us? Go with us through the highways and byways, take care of us, and cause us to assemble back when it be pleasing to thee. Dear Lord, if it's not asking too much, would you, when you've blessed everybody else, would you bless me and mine, take care of my children, and nieces and nephews, would you be around about them, look after them, these blessings we ask. In your name, for your sake, amen.